Well, it'd be good at this point to pause just to reflect briefly on some of the words that we've heard and sung so far this evening. But before we get to that, I'd like to say something briefly about Christmas cards. Have you all received your Christmas cards this year? Six of you have. That's exciting. Well, I have an observation to make about Christmas cards. They don't make Christmas cards like they used to. They don't make Christmas cards like they used to. The Victorians, they knew how to make good Christmas cards. Back in the 19th century, it wouldn't be unusual for you to receive a Christmas card that would look like this. These were very popular back in the 19th century. It is a picture of a dead robin saying, "May yours be a joyful Christmas." Because nothing says joyful Christmas like a dead bird. Well, they did get a bit more festive than that back in the 19th century, so it could be that you'd receive a card like this. Not just one bird, a whole swarm of birds carrying flaming torches with the words, "May all jollity lighten your Christmas hours." I don't know what those birds are up to. I just know I don't trust them. But things got even more festive than this. This is not the peak of Victorian festivities, because you could receive a card that looked like this. Because nothing says Christmas like a frog dancing with a beetle while a grasshopper plays a tambourine in the background. And it says, "May Christmas be merry." This is the epitome of Christmas merriness. Or there is my personal favourite, which is this one. Because probably when I say the word Christmas, the first thing that comes into your mind, I'm fairly sure, would be a small child eating some fruit while a goat appears out of the woods in the background saying, "I've come to greet you." It's the classic Christmas scene, isn't it? As I said, they don't make Christmas cards like they used to, which is a great shame. And as I look at all of the Christmas cards I've received, it didn't take long to look at them, but as I look at them, it seems that I think Christmas cards today are... they're all so nice. They're all so nice. I've got these nice, happy snowmen, and these nice, happy Santas, and these nice, happy Robins that are still alive, and these nice, happy, cosy nativity scenes like this. I get a lot of nativity scenes being a pastor. Nice, cosy, happy nativity scenes. And it's a beautiful nativity scene, especially if the person who sent it to me is here this evening. But there's something I wonder, though, about Christmas cards like that, with that nice, cosy nativity scene on. One problem is that not all of the nativity story is nice and cosy. Not all of the nativity story is nice and cosy. So that's a beautiful card, and it's a good card, and there's something good and cosy about that special moment of that birth, that magical moment, that precious moment on that possibly silent night. But not all of the nativity story is nice and cosy. And if we see the nativity story as just a nice and cosy story, I think we lose the good news of Christmas. I think we lose the good news of Christmas, which I realise might be quite a bold statement. Hopefully it'll make sense as we go along. But the point is this, that the Christmas, the good news of Christmas, it's not God giving us a feel-good story to cheer us up once a year. It's God giving us a real answer to the pain of this world. And that's why maybe we can think a bit about the less cosy bits of the nativity story. Actually, quite a lot of the bits that we think are cosy and nice are not quite so nice and cosy. So we think, for example, of the manger where Jesus was laid, and we think, nice cosy manger. A manger is an animal feeding trough. They're not known for being nice and cosy.
And then you think about the couple here, Mary and Joseph, always look so happy, but they're a young couple. This was not a planned birth for them. The news came to them out of the blue, out of heaven from an angel. You can think of some of the anxieties and worries that might be on their minds, even at this point. But then we get to that last reading that we had from Matthew chapter 2 that Derek read for us just a moment ago. And we read about this child, Jesus, who'd been born. And we read about how, at the time, he was the most hated baby around. But there was this king called King Herod, who, when he heard the news about this child that had been born, a child who was being called king, read that when Herod the king heard this news, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was troubled because he didn't like the idea of there being another king to challenge him as king. And because King Herod was not the nicest of kings, the whole of Jerusalem, the capital city, were troubled, wondering what Herod was going to do about this new king that had been born. And so they weren't perhaps too pleased about the birth of this child either. And then the story gets a bit darker when we see that this child becomes a refugee. He has to flee. An angel appears again, but not to say, "I bring you great tidings of joy," but to say, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And in fact, it gets even darker than that when, after the family, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus flee, we read these words: "Herod became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under." Not so nice and cozy. Happy Christmas. Now, it could be that at this point you're thinking, "Adam, this is not really helping me to get into the Christmas spirit." And maybe you're thinking that. And maybe you're thinking, "Christmassy? Not so Christmassy. Christmassy? Not so Christmassy. Christmassy." But I stand by my first statement that if we just see the nativity story, this true story, the birth of Jesus, as just a nice and cozy story, then we lose the good news of Christmas. Let's think for a moment about this child, who this child is, the child who was born. The claim of the Bible is that this child is a divine child. This is God come down from heaven to earth, born as a baby. And I realize that for some of you that may be a big claim, and you may have lots of questions about it, but we'll just take that claim as it is at the moment. The claim that comes to us that this child is God with us, that God, who's eternally existed, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this is God the Son, come down from heaven to earth, born as a baby, born as a human, entering our world. And the important thing is this, that he doesn't enter our world to have a nice, cozy holiday, just coming down to see what things are like, having a nice, cozy time, and then going back up to heaven again. God the Son doesn't come down wrapped up in cotton wool, making sure he's always handled with care. He doesn't come down with this kind of cosmic diplomatic immunity that means he's always protected and can just party 24/7. When God the Son comes down from heaven to earth and is born, he comes with real human skin into a real human world with real human pain. The real world where things are not always nice and cozy, where sometimes things are nice and cozy and happy and smiley, but where sometimes we suffer and weep. And here in the Christmas story, when we see this rejection and this opposition, we see God coming down into the pain of this world to give us hope. To give us hope. One of the good news stories of the year was surely that story of that cave rescue in Thailand, wasn't it? You think of those children in that cave. Ah, oh, how awful. What a situation to be in. What must have gone through their minds? And the only hope for them was for someone to get into that cave and rescue them. And praise God that happened. And here in the Christmas story, we see God getting into the cave of this world to rescue us, to give us hope of something better. Now, if at Christmas you received this card, you may wonder if the person who sent it to you has perhaps missed what Christmas is all about. Perhaps, potentially, I don't know. Although I'm planning to get these printed en masse to distribute next year. But you may think they've missed what Christmas is all about. And actually, if our view of the nativity story, the story of the birth of Jesus, is just this, nice and cosy, then we've also missed what Christmas is all about. God leaving the coziness of heaven, if you like, to come down to the pain of this world, real pain, to give us hope, real hope. And here's how the Bible describes that hope. Something that we heard earlier from the angel appearing to Joseph and saying what they should call this child who was born. And they say these words: you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is where we get to the real hope of Christmas. You'll call his name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. And sins is the word that the Bible uses to describe what the real issue is in this world. There are lots of problems that we can see around us in the world, lots of things that might trouble us and upset us, but the root issue, the Bible says, is this issue of sin. The Bible tells us that when God first created the world, he's a good creator, he created it to be good. It was, if you like, nice and cozy. And the first humans had a good, cozy relationship with God, who made them a happy relationship, God and humans as friends, enjoying the goodness of the world that God had created. Problem was that the first humans disrupted that situation, that harmony, that peace, that relationship with their God. The first humans thought that there was a better life away from God. And so they disobeyed him. To use the Bible word, they sinned, turning away from the God who made them to go their own way, thinking that there's a better life over there away from God. And they tragically found out that there isn't. We're created to be in relationship with God. That's how we're made to live. But their action disrupted life in this world. And all of us have come to this world following their pattern of thinking there's a better life away from God, not wanting to listen to him, wanting to go our own way. And this issue of sin, this issue of challenging the one who created us, the one who sustained us, this issue means that this world is not what it once was. That now it's a world where there is, sadly, suffering and pain and death. It means that we're not what we once were. We have this tendency to get away from God. It means that our relationships are not what they once were. That we have these tensions between us as we each try and do our own thing. And our relationship with God has been broken by our sin. And it means our future is not what it would be. We're heading to a future away from God, not with him, not with the God who made us, who we're made to be in relationship with, but a future away from him. That's the problem, the situation that all of us naturally find ourselves in, as all of us have sinned, all of us have turned away from God who made us. All of us have this problem of this disrupted relationship with our Creator in a world that's been damaged by sin. All of this because of sin. But here, the good news that the angel announces, that this child who was born, this Jesus, has come to rescue his people from all of that. To rescue his people from all of it, from their sin and all of the consequences of that sin. And that rescue mission took Jesus even deeper into suffering than he'd already been. He was a refugee. He faced hostility and rejection and pain. But he went even deeper into suffering. And where in this account, when he was a young child, we see him being spared from death. Later on, we see that he was spared from death then, that he could die a worse death later on. Because we deserve to face the consequences of our sin, of the way we've lived. That's what it must be like if this is a universe of justice and God is a just God. We deserve to face God's justice. But on the cross where Jesus died, he faced the consequences for sin in our place. All of the consequences of the sin of his people, the justice that those sins deserved, he faced in place of his people, standing in their place. That sin dealt with so we can be rescued from it and all of the consequences of it. And we can know that's true because he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead and is alive now and offers new life to those who come to him. So that if we realize that this is who Jesus is, that he's God come down to earth to give us hope, if we realize what this means for us, that there is an answer to the pain of this world and an answer to our sin, and if we accept the life that Jesus offers us, then Christmas is not just a bit of light relief before the new year starts. But Christmas is a time when we see real hope. Real hope. Real hope now and real hope in the future. Real hope now. If we accept the life Jesus offers, then immediately we know something new, something more. We sing in a carol that we'll be singing in a few moments. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners, God and humans who have sinned, enjoying friendship and a happy relationship again. Knowing that God walking alongside us to help us and give us hope in all of the situations we face in life. When this world isn't nice and cozy and we get hurt and suffer, knowing that God with us. And knowing that there's someone in heaven who feels our pain because he came down from heaven to this earth and experienced the kind of pain we experience. He didn't have a nice, cozy, easy life. Hope now. And hope in the future too. It's one day this Jesus will come back. But he won't come back as a baby put in a manger. He won't come back to suffer again. But he'll come back to bring a full end to all suffering for all of his people. So there'll be no more pain and no more hurt and no more tears and no more death. Just life for his people, those who know him. Just life forever and ever and ever. When God the Son came down from heaven to earth, born as a baby, he didn't come wrapped in cotton wool to make sure he was always handled with care. He didn't come down with some kind of cosmic diplomatic immunity so he could just roam freely and party whenever he wanted to. He came down with real skin to a real world with real pain and real suffering so he could give real hope to real people like you and me. Whatever we're facing, whatever's in our past, whatever is in our future, that we can know real hope. The good news of Christmas is not God giving us a feel-good story to make us feel a bit better once a year, but God giving us a real answer to the pain of this world. You know, I wonder if next year it'd be a good idea for more of us to send a Christmas card like that. A dead robin. It might remind us about something of the Nativity story, that it's not all nice and cosy, that this baby that was born to suffer and even to die for us. But out of that death comes good news, comes life, comes real hope. And it's on that basis that I can say, may yours be a joyful Christmas. We're going to have a time now where we can reflect on who this child is as the Lichard Singers come and sing, just part of the Lichard Singers, just 75%, just the ladies from the Lichard Singers. And I'll mention something at this point, that as you came in, you probably sat on or took this off your chair. It's a welcome card. It may be that as I've been speaking this evening that you have some questions and you'd like to find out a bit more, in which case you can fill in this card and there'll be a welcome box to put it in the refreshment room in the back. We run a course here called Christianity Explored. It's a relaxed opportunity to ask any questions you have about Jesus, however big or small, however silly or sensible, to ask those questions. So you can sign up for more information about that. Or if you just want to get a free Bible to read more about this for yourself, or if you want to know more about what we do here as a church, or if you've got something you'd like us to pray for, anything, fill in this and put it in the box. And you won't find yourself on a church mailing list. We'll just use your details to give you the information that you've asked for to try and help you find out who this Jesus is.